It's quarter number three on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Time to Ask Ross. This week's Ask Ross segment is brought to you by the 409 Tailgate Club. For the best gifts for the tailgater in your life, go to 409tailgateclub.com. And always remember, tailgate with honor.
Okay, welcome back to the Labatt Studio. It's quarter number three, which means it's time for Ask Ross, and Ross is here. Brought to you by 409tailgateclub.com. Hey, the 409 Tailgate Crew has opened up a retail outlet in Happy Valley. It's the Tailgate Corner at the Emporium in the Nittany Mall. Join them on Friday nights prior to home games for a free tasting of tailgate barbecue and wine. If you always wanted to give their barbecue a try, here is your opportunity to sample some really good barbecue. And don't forget, the listener deemed with the number one question, as chosen by Ross, will receive a tailgate box courtesy of 409tailgateclub.com. All right, Ross, we got like four pages of them, and 69% of them are offensive line questions. But are you ready?
Yes.
All right, first one, I'm going to do some home cooking. Kyle in Reading.
Nice.
There you go. Hey, Ross, after three games, which is more troubling to you, the limited pass rush or the offensive line play? While the O-line isn't surprising, though frustrating, the pass rush was supposed to be a strength. Thanks.
I think he just answered the question that he had. He's not the winner. I love Reading, represent. But if you literally answer the question that you just asked and take away, that's what I was going to say. The offensive line, I thought that there'd be some growing pains with a new right guard and a new left tackle. I don't know that the other three are great players. I think they're solid players. I thought that the offensive line would probably play about how they have. They've had some really good moments, really good moments. And they've had some not so good moments. But the defensive line, I thought, would be dominant. They have not been. I mean, do you guys remember? Buffalo was running the ball down their throat.
That's a good offensive line and a good running back. I'm not surprised.
Andy.
I'm not surprised.
It's not the Buffalo Bills, bro. No. It's the Buffalo Bulls. I don't care. You should be surprised. No MAC team should ever do that against Penn State. Never.
Fair enough.
No MAC. It's a very good MAC offensive line and running back. I agree. But no MAC team should ever come into Beaver Stadium and seemingly run the ball at will. I don't know why they ever stopped running it. Yeah. The pick six cost them. I mean, they had it until the pick six. They should have just kept running. Although, you know what? That quarterback's not bad.
He is pretty good.
Yeah. That quarterback. He made
a couple of tremendous throws.
Here's my point, too. The Buffalo quarterback and the Pitt quarterback are both better than Clifford. I mean, am I off on that, Bob?
Pickett had a career game
for
sure.
The Pitt quarterback's definitely. I mean, but Pickett is much better than Clifford.
Yeah, he's also more experienced. He was lousy.
I watched
2 years ago.
I watched him. I watched all of Pitt's first two games of season, and Pickett is he just had a career day. He had a great day.
Okay, well, I'm just talking about the games where they played against Penn State.
He was
better.
Yes.
In both those games,
he was the best player on the field.
Now the UB kid started to have some picks later in the game, but he's a more physically better thrower than Clifford. Anyway, go ahead.
All right, let's go to Mitch in Dresher, Pennsylvania, Montgomery County. Ross, is it me? Or is the RPO different this season? It appears that Clifford either hands off or pulls the ball back for a play-action pass. It seems like we're missing the threat of the QB keeping the ball consistently and running. Is the offense not doing all it can to keep the opposing defense off balance?
I haven't noticed that. How many times has he pulled it?
No, this guy is absolutely right. If Sean Clifford keeps the ball on four of those things, he's going to gain 60 yards. Just real quick, I don't mean to step on your toes.
Oh, hold on a second. I'll say this. There was one for sure that I didn't understand why he didn't pull it. Maybe it was just call
it and run. In 2016, when they broke Trace in, they did the exact same thing early in the season. They never let him keep the ball. They finally did it when they played Maryland. I think they beat him 38-14. And from that point on, when other teams had to honor the quarterback keeping the ball, it was a different offense. But they waited almost a month with Trace. It's the exact same story all over again.
I don't really understand that. I mean, I believe you, but I don't understand why they would do that or why that would be the case. That's
unless
weird
it's
to me.
Maybe the quarterback just not, you know what I mean, not seeing it, because the quarterback run was there the whole game
against Pitt.
Yes.
All right, you're listening to Ask Ross, brought to you by 409tailgateclub.com for all your barbecue sauce, rubs, and 409 tailgate wine needs. Visit 409tailgateclub.com. LabattBlue.com. And remember, we're coming to you from the Labatt Blue studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Remember, bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. This one's from Mark in Murraysville. Hey, Ross, I love the show. The Penn State offensive line seemed to have some trouble pass protecting against Pitt. I remember a few weeks ago you said it seems that Penn State's offensive linemen take their first step more so backwards instead of towards the defender. He said you called it a jump step or something like that. Did you see that versus Pitt? If not, what seems to be the problem? Is it the new quarterback not identifying the blitz before the snaps or lack of reps playing as a unit?
So I haven't been looking at, you know, their sets as much. I've kind of been watching the ball more, if I'm being honest. I mean, I watch the offensive line, but I haven't really been zeroing in on their sets. It seems to me like it's been more communication issues than it has been guys really getting beat. I haven't noticed like a lot of guys getting beat that cleanly. It seems like it's been more just not picking up stunts and blitzes.
James Franklin said, and he doesn't like to credit Narduzzi, but he said he did a really good job. He targeted the running backs in pass protection, and that was also a problem as far as guys coming free.
That's Narduzzi's deal. Like, that's his strength,
right,
is identifying protections and how to beat them.
Yeah, I haven't seen – I think they've been run blocking pretty good. I think they've been pass blocking okay, but their communication and their recognitions and slides and transfers has just been – if it's not right in front of them they're, and it comes from a different direction, they struggle particularly
some of
against
that, some of that takes time, and they haven't seen a bunch of those. I mean, that's – and also that should happen more often in college football than – what you need to do is they need to make them pay. Like when they blitz – Clifford needs to get the ball out, needs to make him pay. I don't understand why he doesn't throw the ball sooner. It doesn't feel like he's getting the ball out.
Pat Freiermuth down the middle, maybe.
Yeah.
I'm just asking. All right, let's keep going. This is from Chad in Kansas City. Ross, it seems the Penn State secondary might have been on vacation along with you. Please send them back. How does this get corrected, or is this just a result of the bend but don't suck pass coverage?
But don't suck. I don't really have an explanation for that other than maybe the players aren't as good as I thought they were. And also, it kind of maybe goes back to the communication stuff we were talking about. You know, it stands to reason if they're that late to get lined up, that why would we think that the secondary would be all ready to go with their coverage assignments and stuff.
They're not lined up.
Still by Castro Fields, he's had some really bad tackling.
Buffalo went after him, by the way. They targeted him.
Yeah.
They threw right at him, and he was okay, but they went after him. He was clearly the guy they identified as going after.
Which is interesting because I think that he thinks he's going pro after this year.
I think he thinks that too.
And he's very talented and... you know, talent only gets you so far.
Right.
You gotta produce.
The receivers were, or the D-backs were beat on a lot of these plays, but there were some throws in that Pickett made.
He great just catches.
The play that set up the goal line stand, you can't, what do you, if you're a defensive
nothing
back,
you can do.
That
you
was
gonna,
an unbelievable
what are you
going to
do?
Catch.
Yeah, and
there's been more than a few of those.
The third, was it third or fourth and 11 along the sideline where the guy got down? That's just a great play.
Yeah, they did give Pitt some credit. Those kids did make some
Here's the
plays.
One thing I want to ask you about defensive backs, and I saw this on Saturday. I saw it a little bit against Buffalo, but I definitely saw it against Pitt. As the game moves on, Penn State's corners and secondary seems to walk further and further away from the ball and away from the line of scrimmage. And then I was like, okay. So I watched football the rest of the day, and as in tight games, I'm seeing as the game gets tighter, both teams are walking up and getting their guys closer to the line of scrimmage to try and, you know, be more aggressive. But it was clear as that game went on and at Penn State's defensive secondary was getting further and further away from the line of scrimmage and in an aggressive posture. They were almost defensive. And I'm wondering if that's, you know, if you think that could be a factor as well. It definitely happened versus Pitt. Did you see that, Bob, as well, that they were kind of moving away?
Obviously, that's got to be Pry and Terry Smith. That's obviously not an ad lib. So that's correct. Their philosophy. Look, I'll just say this about Pickett. He played out of his mind.
He did.
Now, The two games they played before that, Pitt ran for 300 yards. They ran for 200 yards in the first half of two of the three games. They went into that game and said, they're not going to run on us. And they held him to 24 yards with 25 carries, and they said, Pickett, you got to beat us. Now, he almost did, but that was the game plan. And it kind of backfired, but they were tired of getting gouged in the running game. Even the game when Penn State won 33-14, Pitt ran on them.
Right.
So that was the adjustment, and to Pitt's credit, the quarterback played lights out.
And the D-line does deserve credit. We've been hammering the D-line with the pass rush. They deserve credit for their run defense.
Yeah,
the run defense. The whole front seven deserves a lot of credit for that.
All right, let's keep going. This is from Sean in Grantsville, Maryland. Hi, Ross or Bob or Andy. Thank you for the insights on PSU each week. I know Ross loves Devin Ford, and I do believe he has a bright future. But after the Pitt game in the first 2 weeks, what are your thoughts on Noah Kane?
Similar to how I felt about him after the Blue-White game, which is that he's better than I thought he was based on the high school film. He's still not an explosive athlete, but he's a good example of why straight line speed is overrated for a lot of positions, especially running back. How often, we all love the long run by Devin Ford,
right,
and the long run by Journey Brown, but really that doesn't happen very often. It really doesn't. In the NFL, that's such a low priority, what a guy's like 100 meter time is or long speed, because it's just so rare. It's so much more important that you have contact balance and vision. He has, I think on that drive, did he catch a pass or two?
For 13 yards, six carries for 40 yards. I actually like his patience. He lets the blocks set up for him. And the other guys, I think they're pressing. Ricky Slade is definitely pressing because he knows he hasn't gotten off to a good start. They're not. Noah has like an innate patience to him, and I think that's another reason why you rarely see him not get positive yards.
He's definitely been better than I thought he was based on his high school video. It reminds me of the Blue-White game when he was taking it to Penn State starters, even though he was on the other side. That's the best question, by the way. I think that's a good question.
That is
to call me out on Noah Kane, I think is fair. I mean, I'm literally looking at my Twitter during the game, and some guy tweets me, Noah Kane, that is all. Hate Noah Kane. I never even met Noah Kane. I literally just go based on what I've seen in the high school video, which is I thought Devin Ford was amazing. I still think he might be. Noah Kane's better. And I said when I did that video breakdown, IMG's, like, their whole team's monsters and fast, and they're playing. Maybe it's just the competition, and I think it was.
Pro tip. Get after Ross if you want to win the question of the week. Don't be afraid to maybe insult him a little bit.
All right, that's it for quarter number three from the Labatt Studio. We'll finish strong. Stick around and come back with us.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating. Oh, yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.